Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, starting with verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Pray with me. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration of all of our hearts this morning be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The irony of this particular day, Palm Sunday, is that it starts with the glorious celebration of the procession of the palms. Hosanna, hallelujah, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And it ends beginning the week of Passion, the Passion of our Lord Christ Jesus. So it is time to turn towards the Passion. For this season of Lent, I've been preaching a series of sermons based on the temptations of Jesus, particularly the temptations that took place in the wilderness. You recall those temptations immediately after Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. The first temptation was, if you are the Messiah, the Son of God, turn this stone into a loaf of bread. Jesus' response to that was, one shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The second temptation, according to the Gospel of Luke, is the devil shows in an instant Jesus all of the kingdoms of the earth. And says, if you would just but bow down to me, all of this will be yours. Jesus' response to that is, you shall worship the Lord God and serve only Him. The third temptation, the devil takes Jesus into the holy city of Jerusalem, sets him on the pinnacle, the highest point of the temple, and he says, the scripture says, if you jump off, if you are the Messiah, the Son of God, then God's angels will bear you up and land you softly on the ground. Jesus' response to that is, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, there's a very interesting little cryptic ending to Luke's story of the temptation. It ends with this. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. When is this opportune time? It's now, on the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross at his most vulnerable, at the point and the edge of death. And voices from below shout out. First, it's the rulers of the temple. They shout out. They're saying, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one, save yourself. The soldiers who had nailed him to the cross, sitting below him, shooting dice for his garments, giving him old sour vinegar to wet his lips. They say mockingly, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And if that's not enough, one of the criminals hanging on the cross next to him says, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us while you're at it." In 1957, death came to a Greek poet living in exile in a clinic in Freiburg, Germany. His name was Nikos Kazantzakis. Now, you may not be familiar with that name. You might be familiar with one of his famous literary characters, Zorba the Greek. Earlier that year, he had lost the Nobel Prize for Literature by one vote to the French existentialist Albert Camus. When the prize was announced, Camus sent a cable to Kazantzakis saying, "We both know who should have won it." So poor that his wife took a train to Paris to beg money in order to get the body of her husband back to Athens. She did not know it at the time, but there was a cable sent from Greece that said, "I understand that your husband is very ill. May I help? I will be glad to send my private plane for you. May I?" Signed, sincerely, Aristotle Onassis. Helen Kazantzakis begged enough money in order to pay for a German ambulance driver to drive from Freiburg, Germany, all the way to Athens with Mrs. Kazantzakis riding in the back with the body of her husband. When they get to the outskirts of Athens, they are met by the Greek version of the CIA, barring their entrance into the city, saying, "You will not bring this heretic into the holy city of Athens." So they drove around the perimeter of the city to the international airport. And there, on the tarmac, was the private plane of Aristotle Onassis waiting for them to take them to Crete. The Archbishop of the Greek Orthodox Church in Athens declared to all of his priests, no one will give the funeral mass over the body of Kazantzakis. When the plane arrived in Crete, they were met by over 50,000 people who formed a procession to the unconsecrated gravesite of Kazantzakis. Hundreds and hundreds of students carrying his books followed in the procession. And he was buried on the Venetian citadel overlooking the city of Heraklion under a 12-foot wooden cross. So what was his crime? What did he do? This man who was a literary genius, Zorba the Greek. He wrote poems, novels, essays. A man of incredible vision and insight and inspiration. His crime was that when, in the fullness of his maturity, after he had traveled the entire world, he came back to his beloved Athens and reclaimed the faith of his childhood in the Orthodox Church and fell back in love with Jesus. In the fullness of maturity, as he began to think and ponder and meditate over his relationship with his Lord, he wrote his final novel, which he called The Last Temptation of Christ. And for that, he was exiled forever from his native land of Greece. He was excommunicated from the Greek Orthodox Church. And this book was placed on the literary index of the Roman Catholic Church for banned books. Quite an achievement for one book. What was the crime? What did he do? What was in this that was so bad? Kazantzakis, in his literary imagination, had this thought. It's a what-if thought. What if? What if, while Jesus was hanging on the cross, hearing the taunts from all those below, the rulers from the temple, if you are the Messiah, save yourself from the soldiers. If you say and you are the King of the Jews, save yourself from the criminal next to him. They say you're the Messiah. Are you? Then save yourself and us. Kazantzakis thought, what if? What if, just for a moment, on the cross, Jesus thought about it? What would it be like if I was able to live out my life to a ripe old age in Galilee, married with children? What would that be like? And yet, in the book, ultimately, Jesus was obedient. Obedient unto death, even death on a cross. But for depicting Jesus as human, that was his crime. We have difficulties with that in the church, understanding Jesus as human. But if Jesus was not fully human, then all this is for nothing. If he didn't die on the cross like you and I are going to die, it's for nothing. But because he is human like you and me, but without sin, and because he is the Son of God, that makes all the difference. After he got the word that he was excommunicated from the church, Kazantzakis wrote this letter to the Holy Fathers. He said, "You gave me a curse, Holy Fathers, and I give you a blessing. May your conscience be as clear as mine, and may you be as moral and as religious as I." To the criminal on his right, who said, "We deserve what we are getting, condemned to eternal damnation, hanging on a cross," Jesus turns to him and says, truly, today, you will be with me in paradise. And that's the promise from the Son of God and Son of Man in Jesus Christ. He has gone before us to open the door for you and me to paradise. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.